Friends are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I want to welcome Minister Pascal Donoghue, who is a TD, and he is the Fine Gael TD for Dublin Central, and Minister for Transport, Tourism, and Sports. You're very welcome, Minister.
Thank you very much, and hello to all your listeners.
Okay, and we won't get off in a bad foot, so I won't mention anything about the Dublin Mail situation. I will take that up with Niall Gibbons.
Well, apart, I had the great privilege of being at both games, and they were tremendous contests. And the second game in particular, I thought was a far better game. I'm delighted to see Dublin go through, but I do know that I think lots of neutrals in the country would have been cheering on Mayo. Because of their...
We heard it was 31 counties, but then let's not, you know...
Might not have been quite 31, but I think there was a lot of people cheering on Mayo. But we have a great day now coming up very soon with Dublin and Kerry. And
absolutely,
that should be a tremendous day. And the championships in both football and hurling in their latter stages now have produced some cracking games, which is great.
Terrific.
And one of the things I like to do when I'm visiting the US is have the opportunity to meet our GAA clubs in different parts of the states. And in an earlier part of this visit, I met a fantastic GAA club in Tennessee and heard about all they're doing to spread our native sports there.
Fantastic.
And to see their enthusiasm was wonderful.
Now, in addition, of course, to the Gaelic games and the tremendous influence you have, rugby and maybe you'll fill us in a little
bit. Well, there's a huge amount going on in rugby. I mean, as you and all your listeners know, it's a sport that has brought the entire island together at so many points in its history. And it's also a sport in which our national team now have been so incredibly successful in recent years. And obviously we have a world-class coach now leading all of that. Coming up now, we have the Rugby World Cup taking place in the United Kingdom, in London and in Cardiff. Our own team now have done so well in the big competitions last year in the Six Nations. And we're all hoping for the best out of them now in the coming games and wishing them all the best as well. And then on top of all that, one of the decisions that I have been involved in and the government has made is that the island of Ireland is going to put a bid in to host the Rugby World Cup in 2023. And I need hardly tell you the political significance of that, extraordinary excitement that would be involved in putting in the bid, let alone winning it. And the Taoiseach and I and the leading minister from the Northern Ireland Executive did some work there only last week, putting together the board to lead that bid, and that's been led by our former Taoiseach Dick Spring. So we're really excited about that and very hopeful that it's going to deliver great things for the country.
Let me ask you, Minister, you are Minister for Transport, and there have been a lot of advances in transport in Ireland, obviously, and your portfolio covers quite an area within there, rail, road,
sure,
for instance.
And it's a really, really broad portfolio. And one of the things that really relates back to the tourism part of my job is we've made extraordinary progress in recent years in growing access in and out of Ireland. We've had a huge increase in transatlantic flights and on capacity on existing routes into Ireland. A lot of that has been driven by the great work of Tourism Ireland, the support that we've given our airports as a government, and also the decision that we made a number of years ago to reduce the charging fees coming into all of our airports. And that has really enabled our airports to win routes and win market share, which in turn is driving huge success in tourism and huge success in general Irish business.
Your portfolio covering transport and tourism, obviously, we find it difficult on this side of the Atlantic not to brag about the tremendous tourism from North America and what that has meant to the economic recovery in Ireland.
It's absolutely central to the recovery that's taken place in Ireland. Without agriculture and without tourism, the dark days that our country did go through in 2008 up to 2011 and 2012, those days would even have been darker without those two industries. and tourism, which I am so proud of, has now been spearheading the recovery in our country. And one of the things that's made an essential contribution to that recovery has been the amazing support that we have received from Americans who want to visit Ireland and who want to visit Europe. And if I may offer just one figure that illustrates all of that, for every 10 visits that Americans make to Europe, one of those visits goes to Ireland. And it's an extraordinary testament to the success that everybody has enjoyed in driving tourism from the States into our country.
We have, going to hit reverting back and smarting from the Dublin Mayo semi-final, but we have had tremendous pleasure in with Alison Metcalf in particular here in crowing about the Wild Atlantic Way and the massive success that that has.
It's been an unbelievable story, and yeah. I think there's lots of other countries all over the world that are all wild, or have wild coasts that are adjacent either to the Atlantic or some sea of some kind, that are looking at what Ireland and all our agencies have done to deliver the Wild Atlantic Way and wondering why they didn't think of it as well. Yeah. It has been a huge success. It's the longest touring route of its kind in the world. And what Tourism Ireland have done, along with their colleagues in Folger Ireland, is that we've come up with a way of marketing it and coming up with a way of pulling together all our coastal communities have to offer and come up with a proposition that's really world-beating. I have spent a lot of time in my job seeing the success of that in different communities and counties in Ireland. And during a recent vacation that our schools had earlier on in the year, I took part of my own holiday in Mayo and saw the wonderful success and all that the communities in Mayo have done to make the Wild Atlantic Way come alive. And I had the opportunity to cycle the Greenway in Mayo to go from just beside Achill Island into Mulrani, from Mulrani into up to places like Westport, and you've seen the fantastic job that they have done on the Wild Atlantic Way.
Let me ask you about the success and the success of Tourism Ireland. Many of us here felt that obviously the gathering in 2013 would in fact be the pinnacle, that would be it, and wondered, well, what do you do for an encore? However, as we're watching each year and the growth of tourism to Ireland, and obviously we're very proud of the and happy about the tourism from North America into Ireland, where can you now focus? It's fixed, so to speak. How do you continue to fix something that's a rip-roaring success?
Well, you got to keep on fixing it. And one of the things I feel so strongly about tourism is that if you stand still at any point in tourism, you're slipping backwards. Because we have so many other countries that are trying to get American tourists to visit them and to spend their dollars there. So if I look at the Wild Atlantic Way, what we're going to be doing across the coming years is upgrading the experience that visitors will get in different parts of the Wild Atlantic Way. To give you a small example of that, this September, we're going to be upgrading the info points that are on the Wild Atlantic Way. So what that will mean is, let's say I was welcoming you to Mayo,
right,
to give a topical example of us, and you went to a part of the Wild Atlantic Way on Mayo. We're going to have panels there that will tell you about the next part of the Wild Atlantic Way and give you information about how you can engage with other people who are on the Wild Atlantic Way through Facebook, through Twitter and through social media. And then we're also going to be upgrading really significantly different parts of the Wild Atlantic Way to provide better facilities in our beaches, in our villages, to where people might surf and that kind of thing. And then we've lots of other great things, a lot coming, and one of the things I'm doing in my visit to this wonderful city is tonight we're going to be launching a new concept called Ireland's Ancient East, which is going to be supporting the south and southeast of our country and bringing together all the wonderful heritage that part of the country can offer.
Let me ask you about, and I'm delighted to hear, you know, about the new forthcoming editions or what you're actually working on right now at the Wild Atlantic Way. Many, I think, would feel that the signage, the signposting, everything has contributed so tremendously, to the success and the repeat business that will generate. I mean,
yeah, it's been a huge success, and the signage, as you said there, has played a really, really big part in it. One of the things that I've learned from doing it, though, is that the role of local communities are absolutely essential in making it as successful as it has been. And I don't need to tell you or any of your listeners how important communities are to Ireland, but one of the things I've really learned from it is what communities are doing in our country when they're really well organised, is they're bringing together all that local government can do and all that organisations like Tourism Ireland and the government can do, and they're making these things far greater than the sum of their parts. And we're seeing so many countless examples of that in different parts of the Wild Atlantic Way now.
Now, again, access to Ireland. I think many of us would assume that this has to do with the chicken and the egg. In terms of great success, great interest in Ireland, obviously it is Tourism Ireland. It's in the Irish government's best interest to open as many additional gateways as possible, and that has contributed, and it's continuing to contribute.
And I think you've kind of described it very well, the bit about the chicken and the egg, because as you will well know, the people who provide those airlines and those routes are their private companies, and they're going to want to know, can they fill the seats if they're providing you services? And that's why the work of government and the work of people like Tourism Ireland is so important, because we've got to be able to give them confidence that we're going to be able to put people in seats on planes.
Right.
And then as we do that, encourage them then to develop those services. And we've been very successful in regards to that now. We've seen real development in new transatlantic routes from America to Ireland and backwards again. The one example I always give of that, I know it's not relevant to your own estate here, but it does tell the story well, is a number of years ago, the service from Dublin to San Francisco was completely cancelled, wasn't there at all.
Mm-hmm.
Aer Lingus brought it back in for a number of days per week, and now a number of months ago, they've announced it's going to be 7 days per week. So we went from a service that was there to one that was cancelled to one that was partially restored, so now to one that's fully restored. And 7 days a week, and it's one of the busiest services now you can now imagine. And a lot of the routes that come in and out of your main airports here in the States and city of New York, they're very, very successful. But one of the things that Tourism Ireland have been able to do is they've been able to encourage the companies who are providing those services to put more seats on them and to make more of these services available to people. So across the summer, Adrian, we had nearly 140,000 seats available in and out of Ireland every week on major airlines. And that has been absolutely core to the kind of success that we're now seeing in tourism. So far this year, we would estimate that we've had nearly 900,000 visitors from America to Ireland. And for a country of our size, that's an amazing performance.
Definitely is. You know, no harm to point out, though I think most people here would know, that Tourism Ireland is the Bible of information and has a lot of experience in bringing tourists to the island of Ireland. The border has gone in tourism.
Yeah.
And it is something that's very successful, and I think when we speak of access from any point in Ireland to where you might, what might take your fancy, is so terrific.
And look, you're dead right. I mean, if you have a tourist that's going to make the decision to travel to Ireland, they are as interested in going to see what Belfast has to offer as they are in going to see what Dublin has to offer. And this is something that has been recognised by political leaders on both sides of the border. And the Tourism Ireland is very, very rare and very, very important and operating as on both jurisdictions in our country and on our island. And they do tremendous work in trying to increase cooperation in businesses all over the island. So whenever I am leading, for example, a tourism mission, along with Tourism Ireland to any part of the world, we have businesses, we have hotels, we have attractions from the north who are part of that mission, who play as important a role as any other business on any other part of our island. And I think it's a real example of how cooperation is to the benefit of all communities on our island.
Now that the West Coast finally has received not only tremendous attention from Tourism Ireland, we're quite open to an announcement actually that you are rolling out on this trip, bringing us back to the east.
Yes, indeed. And this is a new campaign that we're launching for the east of Ireland and the southeast of Ireland, which is all about Ireland's ancient east. So what the thinking is behind that is we know there's a particular kind of visitor from whom the Wild Atlantic Way will be heaven. Somebody who wants a lot of diversity, wants to be outdoors, wants to see all that our coast has to offer. But there's other kinds of tourists, for example, for whom heritage, history, art, experiencing all these things in a local setting, that's something they really want to do. So what we've done is we have worked with lots of communities in those areas to come up with the island, the concept of Ireland's ancient east. And we have things in that part of our country that are older than the pyramids in Egypt. And now we're going to be talking about that in a new way to encourage other kinds of tourists to come to different parts of our country. Now, I have to say to you, that doesn't mean that the West is going to get any little less attention.
Oh, no, we haven't made.
And speaking as somebody, my boss, the Taoiseach, is from the West of Ireland, and I can assure you, he always keeps his eye on what's happening there.
Absolutely.
But I suppose what we're going to do, we're learning from what has happened very well in terms of how we have communicated and supported the West of Ireland, and we're looking to kind of bring that to bear now to another part of our island. And I'm really looking forward to launching that in my visit here.
On September 24th, there are two major events happening on the east coast of the United States. One of them is going to be very cluttered. It will be very, it will really, New York will be crippled. But there's an event of equal significance that indeed will be taking place in Hamden, Connecticut, to which the Taoiseach is not only invited, but he will be conferred with an honorary degree from Quinnipiac University. And he'll be cutting out of there rather early because he still will be down in New York City for, of course, the Pope's Mass. There are very few occasions where we can fit in the Irish connection as much as having the Pope in New York and the Taoiseach in Hamden at Quinnipiac University and then in New York. So
you're going to be very busy, aren't you, with all this going on?
Well,
I don't know how
to be busy.
Well, I'm sure you'll be keeping a close eye on everything that will be unfolding. And there's so much going on across the world, and your listeners will be well aware of the challenges and crises that different parts of the world are now experiencing. And I think it's so important now that world leaders, respond back in the way they are at the moment to the challenges that are there. And while we're here to promote lots of the positive things that our own country has to offer, of course, we're all aware of the terrible challenges that different parts of the world are facing at the moment.
And we can also acknowledge, of course, that Ireland, despite its own downturn and almost miraculous recovery, has never shied away from being supportive, indeed in assisting any area of the world where indeed the Irish aid is very much appreciated.
And I must say, it was, I lived outside of Ireland myself for many years, but I never had the opportunity to live here when I was abroad. And one of the things I'm always struck by is I think you get the fullest appreciation of what it is to be Irish at times when you're abroad and you're in another country. And one of the things that made me realise all the full spectrum of the Irish identity was when 2 years ago I had the opportunity to visit Malawi with one of our Irish charities. And you could see the support that our government and our charities are putting into really communities that face terrible difficulties. And I'm really proud of the fact that across a time when our own country was in facing really significant economic challenges, we still managed to maintain most of the funding and support that we have to different parts of the world. And very recently, in the last number of weeks now, the Irish Navy in the Mediterranean has played a really great role in trying to help a very vulnerable people avoid the loss of life and serious injury. And I am very proud of the fact that our country and our people have been able to support that through decisions that our government has been able to make.
And we are delighted to welcome you to New York City, and again to wish you all the luck in the world. In addition to the busiest portfolio in your cabinet position, you also have a very busy constituency as TD.
I do indeed. I'm very lucky to be able to represent the constituency of Dublin Central, which is in a constituency in the very heart of our capital city. And it always brings home to me all the great things that are happening into our country and have always happened to our country, even at difficult times, while reminding me of the work that we still need to do to help people. You described the recovery that our country is now experiencing as being nearly miraculous. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a recovery that wouldn't have happened without the support that we have received from America. It's a relationship that's extremely important, and it's also a recovery that wouldn't have happened without all the changes that the people of Ireland have gone through, have endured, and are trying to come out the other side from. So it's just great to be able to make a visit here and to be able to talk about an industry that's made a really important contribution to that recovery, an industry that's so fun, it's so positive. And look, the bottom line is we want to ask more of your listeners to come back to Ireland to experience a different part of our country. And I need hardly tell you that the dollar has rarely been gone as far in Ireland as it can at the moment. So if they come to Ireland, not only will they have the opportunity to see new things being done really well, the kind of value they'll be able to enjoy will make the experience even more enjoyable.
Thank you for joining us today.
And thank you for having me on.
Minister Pascal Donoghue, TD, Fine Gael, TD we might add, and representing Dublin Central, and the Minister for Transport, Tourism and Sport. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.